You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilkins bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries right here in Stuart, Florida. And we welcome and greet all you listeners wherever you're at, on the computer, you're listening on the radio right now, wherever. And so we just thank you so much that you're listening into the program again. We've been on this program for 20 plus years, Pastor. That's hard to believe. And so
they might be in their car, Pastor.
Yeah,
they
might be out in their car driving
just
down the road.
Be careful. You don't go. Be careful as you're listening to us. Amen. Yeah. We're going to talk about the Holy Ghost
again. We talked about it last week.
Wow.
But we're going to talk about it some more again this week, because we're only, I think, Wednesday. This coming Wednesday is the day of Pentecost, the 50 days of counting the Omer. And so we're honored to be here with you. As we said, we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. We offer CDs if somebody would like to get a copy of what was spoken today to listen to it again. We offer those for all. We ask for a love offering, and you can make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. That's the ministry that you're hearing right now. And mail it to Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida, and the zip is 34995. So hallelujah. We're honored to be here with you. So Pastor Don's got a couple announcements to make here, and then we're going to start and do a little teaching here with you today. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hello, everyone. We want to just bless you and thank the Lord for you and for you listening to this program for either for a long time you have, or maybe this is your very first time.
Hallelujah.
Many people call us that they've been driving down 95 or they're on the turnpike and they hear us. So you can, if you get out of range, you can always go and listen to this program. Every Saturday we're on, every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 o'clock, and we're on the internet. You can go to WCNO.com, go to Saturday, and look for Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton, Raising the Standard, on Saturdays at 12 noon to 1 o'clock. So we're blessed to be here, and we'll say hello to you all, and pray that you all have a wonderful weekend. Some people are traveling and driving.
Right.
And
hallelujah.
And
be safe, yes.
That's for this weekend, amen. Been praying and praying for our military and our soldiers and all those that have given their life for this country. And,
that's right.
Amen. So we just pray that you have a safe weekend and a blessed time. I'm blessed that my daughter's going to come down to see me on my birthday.
That's right.
So I'm just blessed for
that. Today's your birthday.
Today is my birthday.
That's right. May 27th.
Yeah. Wow, I won't say how old I am, but I'm not as old as that. I mean, I'm older than I sound, and I'm older than I act, but that's okay, because I want to be young in spirit, amen, and be able to be, directed and led by the Holy Ghost. I don't want to get caught in a box. I mean,
hallelujah.
I don't want to get stuck in a box, you
that's
know.
That's right. A lot of people are.
I want to be free. I'm free. I'm free in the spirit. Praise God.
Well, the Spirit of the Lord is our liberty. That's what it says in the Bible.
Freedom and liberty.
Right?
Yes.
Freedom and liberty.
Amen. So I just thank the Lord for every day He's given me to live. Amen. Because I almost went home last year. So, yeah, I just thank God. We should thank the Lord for our many, many blessings, because He wants to bless us and use us. And it doesn't matter if how old somebody might be or how young they might be, or where they may live. It doesn't matter. God wants to bless His children.
Absolutely.
We are children of the King, and we have a heavenly home. And we, you know, there's a hell to shun, and there's a heaven to gain.
That's right.
So that's what we want, heaven. Amen. And we can hear from heaven. We can hear from God. We can hear from the Spirit of God. That's why I believe one of the reasons why the Lord gave you the name for our church, Spirit of Prophecy Ministry. Because it says right there in Revelation 19:10, worship God. That's the first thing. That's
worship
a command.
God.
Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That's in Revelation 19:10. We don't worship angels, no. We don't worship men, no. We worship God.
We're God seekers.
We want
God
to see
chasers, yeah.
God chasers. Amen.
Yes.
Praise God for that. So we say hello. I'm going to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey on Andros Island. We're blessed to have a wonderful church on Andros Island, the temple of God.
We're honored to be a part of them.
Yes, we are. And so that church is being built. And so there might be somebody out there that has $10,000 they can give us to give to Roscoe and Audrey.
That's right. The Lord may speak.
That's right. Somebody might want to just get on a plane and go over there and give them the $10,000.
Hell yeah.
You know, there's somebody out there listening that has money that they want to plan. Maybe
That's
it's
right.
more than 10,000. Maybe
right.
it's 50.
Yeah.
Whatever it might be, you know, we have to be obedient to what God
calls
us to do.
They could finish that building real quick,
yes,
couldn't they?
That's right. You know, you can't take money to heaven.
That's right. You can't.
You can only take souls to heaven.
That's
Amen.
That's it. That's right.
Praise God for that. So we say hello to you, Roscoe and Audrey. Keep up the good work.
Hallelujah.
Keep up the good work. Amen. They're actually on an awesome street called Conk Sound.
Yeah.
So I think of the shofar. They need to blow that conk horn or that shofar all the time. Make the sound of the Lord. You know, we blow it all the time in our church. And some people say, oh, you shouldn't be blowing shofars. Oh, you shouldn't be flying flags. Listen, what did they do when they went to war? When Israel went to war, every place they went, they had the sound of the shofar, and they had
and the singers
flags,
went out
and
first.
They had banners.
Yeah.
And they didn't just have swords, you know. They had the sword of the Lord. That's what they had, because when
Tam
they
branch.
Were obedient to God, and even God said to blow the shofar.
That's right.
Even God did blow the shofar on Pentecost, no less. On Pentecost, He blew the shofar from heaven.
Exodus 19.
And He spoke to the people. We might need to go there too, just to remind them, Pastor Gene. He actually spoke to Moses, but not only Moses, the people.
The people
heard Him. It wasn't just a quiet, still voice that He spoke to Moses in, or He just didn't whisper to Moses on the top of the mountain, or they just didn't hear Him because Moses was so high up and they were at the foot of the mountain. No, everyone heard the voice of God. And it scared them.
Made them tremble, didn't it?
It made them tremble.
Didn't want to hear again. They were afraid.
Well, you would tremble, too.
Yeah.
And so when you hear the voice of the Lord and the Lord speaks to you, sometimes it makes you tremble. Amen.
Sure.
And so we need a holy fear of the Lord, because Jesus is coming soon. And He's coming for those that are looking for Him. Amen. And He's coming for those that are seeking truth and holiness. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And I said the other day, what? Was it last Sunday? I think I said that mercy and truth, right?
Yeah, join
He's
together.
Merciful. He's so merciful, and He'll always bring us the truth. But He expects us to do something, to repent and turn from our wicked ways. Amen. But we're talking about Pentecost. Well, before we do that, I want to give our phone number, and I want to mention that we have a guest speaker this weekend. We have a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, a Holy Ghost filled woman who's been around the world and written many books in, I think, I forget how many different languages, I think over 20, I'm not sure, but many, many different languages, and she has a new book out, and she has had visions and dreams, and her name is Mary Catherine Baxter. Mary Baxter. So she's going to be with us tonight, Friday night she was with us, she's going to be with us today at 4 o'clock. and she will be with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
Yes.
You want a touch from the Lord? You want to know about heaven?
And she hell.
Has, and hell.
Yeah.
She has had visions and visitations and many times, and most of her books are about heaven and hell and prayer and how to overcome the works of the enemy. You know, the enemy's still at work.
Sure
the
is.
Devil is comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But she's going to share how Jesus said he's giving us life, and he wants to give us abundant life. But, you know, if you want that abundant life, well, you got to get in the flow of God. You're not going to have that abundant life with the things that are going on in the world today. Our abundant life comes from heaven.
You need to get in the river,
God.
Don't we?
We need to get in the river of God.
River of God.
River of God. Amen. So Mary Catherine Baxter will be with us
today at 4.
At 4 p.m. and tomorrow at 10 a.m. So come. I know you will be blessed, 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 blessed. Amen.
That's right.
The phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
Amen.
Amen. So when Moses was called up to the top of the mountain,
it was in Exodus 19.
Up to the top of the mountain.
Yep.
God called him up there. God had a purpose.
He sure did.
You know, God calls people, and God still has a purpose. It's Exodus 19:19. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice.
Yeah.
You know, God has a voice. Wow. Well,
many people's heard his voice directly.
God has a voice,
yeah.
And it comes to us because we have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
How else did any people get saved? They heard a voice. You tell a story, even before you got saved, you heard a voice. You didn't know where it came from.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, did it come from the north, the east, the south? Which way does the wind blow?
That's right.
But you heard a voice.
I heard a voice when I knew I was going to marry you.
You heard a voice even before you got born again. So
that's right.
God speaks to people that even are, that are not saved.
That's right.
But they don't recognize it, or they don't know it's God. They don't know it's the Spirit of God speaking to them.
Amen.
So what we need to be is we need to be sensitive. And, you know, when we get born again, when we receive the Holy Ghost with the baptism, and we've even become more sensitive. We should even be more sensitive.
Absolutely.
But sometimes I think the sinner is more sensitive than the Christians, because Christians can get lukewarm. God hates, what's he say about people who get lukewarm? They're going to get spewed out
of his mouth. You're neither hot nor cold, so I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. That's what he said
right.
In Revelation.
So when you get on fire for the Lord, you got to stay on fire.
That's right.
So to stay on fire, you got to stir up the gift that's within you. Jesus said he went back to the Father. He said, I got to go back to the Father. And when I do, we will send the gift of the Holy Ghost. So the gift of the Holy Ghost is dispersed to everyone.
It's available to everybody, isn't it?
Every born again Christian that asks, they can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the gift of the Holy Ghost, one thing the gift does is it will help you to discern.
That's right.
Because we want to discern not by my mind. Because my mind will think the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Our mind will always think, most of the time will go to the negative. Unless you have trained your mind not to go to the negative. But the natural thing for people to do is to go to the negative thought.
That's right.
Look at the dark side. Why? Because we're in a dark, fallen world. But we have to look to the light. We have to look to the positive, to the right side. You know, I talk about God's right hand and God's right arm, and everything in God's word is right. I mean, even the way he talks about anointing your right ear, your right thumb, your right big toe,
right.
Great toe, everything is on the right. You know, we got to do things. You think he's trying to tell us something?
Jesus,
there's
the
a right way.
Father, yeah.
That's right. There's a right way and there is a wrong way. And so to me, the wrong way is darkness and the right way is light. Jesus said, I am the light. So here we have right here in Exodus 19:19, and the mountain, verse 18. Verse 7 says, Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God.
Yep.
That's what the Holy Ghost does. He brought the people out to me with God, came out of the camp, and they stood at the nether part of the mountain. They stood at the bottom of the mountain. They couldn't touch the mountain. They couldn't go up the mountain. They would die. It says, and the mountain, Mount Sinai, was altogether on a smoke.
Whoa. Burning fire
smoke,
on there.
Smoke of heaven.
Yeah.
When the smoke of hell, you know hell has smoke
yeah.
and fire?
Yeah, they say.
Heaven has smoke and fire.
People's been there, so it's got a terrible smell, yes.
Terrible. Because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Mm-hmm. The Bible says he is a consuming fire.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mountain quaked greatly.
Shook.
Well, that makes you think it had an earthquake, but it doesn't say it fell down. No, it quaked.
Shook.
It shook. But the power of God was able to hold it together, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
God's power holds things together.
He wanted to get their attention.
In verse 19, I'm going to read that again. And when the voice of the trumpet, see, God's voice is a trumpet. Like a trumpet. You know, we have a voice box, and if you put your fingers on your voice box, and that you can feel the vibrations. You know, trumpets vibrate. They send sound waves.
That's right.
And so when we talk or we speak or we speak for God or we prophesy, we are a trumpet. We're a voice for the Lord, and we can feel that rumbling in our voice box.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. And we each have one, don't we? So everyone has a trumpet. You don't have to carry a trumpet, walk around carrying a trumpet. That's fine to carry a trumpet or a shofar. I'm not saying you can't have one. In fact, if you want to bring one to church, you can. Just blow it at the correct time. You know, blow it when the pastor blows it. You know that's the right time. Amen? So, but we are a trumpet for the Lord.
That's right.
We are. God's people are a trumpet for the Lord, and God expects us to speak.
We're a holy sound.
That's right. Amen. And so we speak the words of God. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, see now there's different sounds on a trumpet. This was a long, long blast.
That's right.
A long, long blast. Maybe you want to get your trumpet and make a long blast in here, Pastor Gene. Because, you know, Pentecost is coming up, and this is when this happened. But you know, in Israel, they blow trumpets all the time. When they went out to war, they always blew the trumpet. It was the sound. It was the sound. That people, that the enemy recognized the sound, and they said, uh-oh, God is coming. We can't fight God. That's what the people thought. And when they went to these places, you know, Jericho, all these different places, there was fear, because when they heard the sound of the trumpet, they knew that God was coming, and God is the one who fought the enemies. God killed the enemy, destroyed the enemy, because they were coming against the children of Israel. God is going to take care of our enemies. We don't have to worry about our enemies. God will take care of it. But they heard the sound, and it made them tremble, and they had fear. And you know, many of them would run. They would give up. They would just, you know, that's it. Or, you know, and but whenever Israel obeyed God, they always had the victory. And they always went out with the trumpet. It says it waxed louder and louder. And Moses spake, and God answered him with a voice. Now, just before Pastor Gene blows this trumpet, this voice, as Pastor Gene has shared many times, it says a voice. God has it. So there's many voices out there. There's
right.
the voice of the enemy. There's the voice of your mind. There's the voice of your mother, the voice of your father, the voice of your neighbor, the voice of your pastor. But God's voice is the voice we want to hear.
That's
amen.
Right.
And so this voice, the people heard. They heard it. And even if they spoke many different languages, they all understood. Because, you know, God has a pure language. And when we come to the end and we're all in heaven, there's going to be a pure language. One pure language. You know, they had a pure language at one time. But they decided they were going to build a fortress, I guess you'd call it. I don't know. They were going to build this high, what do they call that, Pastor?
Tower.
Tower. And
Nimrod,
because
yeah.
Nimrod, but because they did that, God made changed all their voices,
right.
So they couldn't understand.
Their tongues, didn't he? Yeah.
So they couldn't finish the work because there was no understanding
and no unity.
No understanding. Well, we can talk about God. Well, God gives us wisdom. We ask for wisdom. He gives us wisdom. When we get wisdom, we'll get understanding. When we get understanding, we get the knowledge of how to do things. Let's blow that shofar. And this,
okay.
What he's blowing now is a.
Well, I was going to tell him. You know, most of the things you see on TV and on ministries, They have that great big long shofar. That's a Yemenite. That's not the one that was blown on Mount Sinai, because God—that was God's. He did that. But I'm thinking about the one that
Abraham
with Abraham and all. It was a ram's horn that came off that ram.
Amen.
And this is what we're going to hear at the end. Here we go. You ready?
Can you make a long sound, a long blast?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That's a ram's horn.
We have that, and we have this, and we blow this at home from time to time. But, you know, we blow both in church. We have that one and also the long one.
Yeah.
It, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, if you don't have a horn, you many times you'll just hear me go, woo, you know, in church. And that's my shofar. You know, I don't have to have a shofar in my hand because God is the shofar in me. Hallelujah.
That's right.
So come today if you can at 4:00, and you're going to hear about heaven and hell. You know, and people need to know about heaven and hell. Not a lot of people preach about hell because it scares people.
That's right.
But
should
you know
scare
what?
You.
That's right. You, hell is a real place.
That's right.
And nobody should not even want your worst enemy.
Nobody
to go to hell. It's a terrible, terrible place.
It's for eternity.
And it was prepared for the devil and his
fallen angels.
But there's going to be many, many souls in hell. But heaven is a wonderful place. And so that's what we want. We want to be in heaven. We want to take people to heaven with us. Amen. All right, Pastor Gene. You were going to go over to Acts?
Yeah, I was going to go to Acts chapter 2. We mentioned last week we got into 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 and all, but I wanted to go back a little bit and go back to Acts chapter 2. We have some misconceptions about some things, I think, in the church especially. You know, the emphasis for some reason is always about just the tongue. But remember, when you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, the foundational evidence that you have it is everyone's going to have a language that God gave them to pray in.
Amen.
And we speak to God and not to man. And so that's the key thing. But we have so much emphasis on just the tongues. What we've got to think about a little bit today is when that manifestation came on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, what was the purpose of that? What did the Holy Ghost do? Did just people run around and pray in tongues? There's a lot more to it. Think about the power that was behind it and the things that God wanted done, and people followed the Holy Ghost and it did happen. So I want to take you to Acts chapter 2 for a moment. We know over here, starting around verse 32 or so in Acts chapter 2, we know Peter preached a message on the day of Pentecost, okay? And for time's sake, I'm going to go up here. I'm going to start in verse 33. It says, therefore, being by the right hand of God, who's that? Yeshua, exalted and having received of the Father the promise, hear this, the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. And we talked about the King James has the word Holy Ghost. None of the other Bibles have that. There's a distinction between the Spirit of God, the Spirit is God, and he's the giver of the Holy Ghost that's in us. So we host God because of that. And then we go on.
Well, I just saw something I've never seen in my whole life.
What's that?
I just saw something. Well, we talk about the Godhead, and we use the King James Bible.
Yep.
The Godhead's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
It tells us that over in the book of...
First John.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it says here, 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, this is where he was now, because he was now in heaven.
Yeah.
And having received, who received?
Jesus received, yeah.
Jesus received. I always think about myself receiving or people receiving the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. God promised that he would give him a gift. And what did he do? He was a gift giver. He gave us the gift.
Mm-hmm.
He passed that gift on to all who would believe in him.
And when he was water baptized, the Holy Ghost came upon him.
It says, yes, but it says, this is after when he was back up in heaven, right?
That's right.
Having received, he had received
of the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost. That's right. And he gave it to us.
He has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear.
That's right.
So, wow, I think about that. That was a promise. You know, when you have a promise, you people have, like a wedding band or an engagement ring is a promise, isn't it?
That's right.
A promise. So God promised him this wonderful gift, a wedding. When a girl receives a wedding, an engagement ring, it's probably the most precious gift she might ever have, because it's a symbol of love, you know. But God's love, he promised this gift to Yeshua. And then so Yeshua fulfilled all that he was supposed to do, just like the bridegroom fulfilled all he had to do, and Jesus fulfilled all he's doing for his bride.
That's right.
And he even said he had to go back to the Father to prepare a place for us. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So this promise that God had given to Jesus, the promise of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And then he shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. So we now see and hear that because of what Jesus did, because Jesus received it first and we received it from him.
I thought about it. It says, which you now see and hear. Now we know they heard. How did they see?
They saw the manifestation.
The manifestation of what it produced.
Amen.
That's what they saw.
And like I was just praying in the spirit with Mary Baxter before we started. And, you know, she had a vision and I got a word. Well, we were praying in the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
I think praying in the Holy Ghost opens up your spiritual man to your spirit to receive a word or a vision or a dream from the Lord.
And the deep things of God revealed.
And then you get the understanding, and then you can speak forth what it is that you see or you hear. And so praying in the Holy Ghost isn't just an exercise of moving your vocal cords, you know. And then not receiving. It's a impartation that you're receiving, the revelation. And, you know, I know everyone says, and it's true, there's no new revelation, but God is always speaking. And to me, when you use that term, some people say illumination. Well, you know, revelation is finding out something you didn't know. Now, maybe somebody else had found the same thing out maybe 100 years ago or yesterday. But if I've just found it out, then it's a revelation to me.
That's right.
Because I didn't know. But when you hear something from the Lord, you know that you know that you know that it's from God. You don't have to hear it from somebody else, a story that they told. You have an experience of your own.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
So let's finish reading this. Now, we read verse 33. Let's look at verse 36 now.
Mm-hmm.
It says, therefore, let all the house of Israel, Peter speaking here, know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, Yeshua, that God hath made that same Jesus or Yeshua whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. This is an interesting verse here. Now the word means Lord. It means he's God. He's God, and he's also the anointed Messiah. So Peter's making it quite clear. And then he goes on from there, and verse 37 says, now when they heard this, his preaching, they were pricked in their heart. What were they? You're convicted.
Pricked in their heart.
They were convicted in their heart. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And we read this last week and a week before. Mm-hmm. Then Peter said unto them, repent. First of all, you have to turn around and go another way. So in the Hebrew, it'd be the word teshuvah, to turn around and go the other way. And he baptized every one of you, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye, that means you all, the ye, shall what? Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, a lot of people teach this verse and say the gift here is the being born again. This is not what this is about. You can't receive the gift of the Holy Ghost until you are born again.
Amen.
And at the beginning of that verse tells you that they had to repent. That means they had to turn their lives around, follow Christ, and then what happened? Then the baptism of the Holy Ghost came. And the key thing in this verse, if you know anything about the Greek language, there's a definite article before the word gift. It's the word the. The is a definite article. It means it's specific, and it means exactly that. So the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, the question is, what is this gift? Is it just the speaking in tongues? Or is it being born again? What is it? Well, let's read on. Verse 39. For the promise, Peter says, is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, like us. We're far off from the day that happened.
A long ways away.
Even as many as the Lord our God what shall call.
Man.
And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So this baptism here is a water baptism. So now it brought in 3,000 souls. So this was the first fruits of what? A Pentecost. Remember, Pentecost is a harvest festival. This was the first fruits in the spiritual realm. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, what I had in mind here was this. I want to go over to 1 Peter, I believe it is. And we mentioned this weeks ago, but I think we ought to mention this again. This definite article is so important to understand. So this is the gift over here we talked about in Acts chapter 2. Is very specific, and it's not talking about being born again. It's talking about receiving what the apostles received on that particular day when Peter was preaching this message, and they all got pricked in their hearts and said, what must we do? And so he told them what they had to do to come into the kingdom of God. So I think it's in 1 Peter. It's in 2 Peter. 2 Peter. No, it's right. I'm so right. 1 Peter. I'm sorry. I'll get it right here in a minute. 1 Peter chapter 4. Now we have a key verse here. And what I want to emphasize here is a lot of these other Bibles change a definite article and they put the word a in there. A could be a definite article, but it's really not. The is a definite article. Verse 10 says this, as every man hath received the gift, same as we read in Acts chapter 2.
The gift.
The gift. Now these other Bibles say, as every man hath received a gift. It's not a definite article. This is a definite article. The gift. What is the gift? It's what we read in Acts chapter 2. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. As every man hath received the gift after they're born again, even so minister what? The same, the Holy Ghost, one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So what is this telling us? It's a ability to what? To minister in the power and the anointing of God. Without the anointing, we can't do much of anything at all if it's out of our mind. So we have to have that anointing. And so this is so important to understand this. So as I mentioned up front, everybody keys in on tongues like that's what it's all about. No, that's just the outward manifestation that you've got it. What is it? What is the Holy Ghost producing in the world through you and I that are born again, that have the Holy Ghost? What is it producing out into the world for God's power and glory? What is it? What's it all for? That's what it's for. Read the book of Acts all the way through. Look at all the signs and wonders and miracles that were done. Look at what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with those nine manifestations. They were all to be used. And so this is very key about this. The gift. And so the gift is what? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. That brings us into the supernatural realm to step across and is subsequent to being born again. And it's very important. We talked about that last week over there in Luke chapter 24 when Jesus told his disciples, he says, go to Jerusalem and tarry, because soon you're going to be endued with power, what, from on high. Well, they didn't know what it was going to be at that time, but they found out pretty quick, a few days later, what that was going to be. And what was it? They all were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. So we got too much emphasis, I think, today, Pastor Donna, just on the tongues part of it. The tongues is important because just the evidence with you and me individually that God has given us that gift and the tongue that we have, nobody else has that tongue. Isn't that amazing? Think of it. No two people have the same fingerprint. No people have the same things in their eyes. And so it's a unique gift that's given to each individual that comes to the Lord. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus, His Father, and the Holy Ghost, they want every single person that comes to Jesus Christ when they're born again, He wants them all to have a heavenly language they can talk to God, not
that's
to
right.
me.
But, you know, a lot of people are afraid. A lot of people preach against it.
That's
and
right.
A lot of people don't want to shut your mouth that you don't speak in that tongue.
That's
they
right.
want to, stop the sound of the shofar, which is the voice of God.
That's right.
And so, you know, when they do that, then there's a fear or people are embarrassed. They don't want to pray in tongues because they feel like they're going to be ridiculed or they're embarrassed. See,
that's
we
right.
should never be embarrassed of the Holy Ghost.
Nope.
I'll tell you, Paul bragged on speaking in tongues
more than them all.
And he bragged about it, and he said to covet these gifts.
That's
said
right.
to covet prophecy, to covet these gifts, to speaking in tongues, because it draws you closer and it gives you the voice of the Lord. That's what it does. It gives you the voice of the Lord. So we should not try to close our mouth and stifle it. That's what the enemy wants us to do. He doesn't want us to speak in tongues, because you know when the anointing comes and you move in the things of the Spirit, something is going to happen. But if you decide to sit there like a bump on the log and you don't move and you don't speak in tongues, you know, then nothing happens. Nothing happens. So I think it's very important. It says, if many men speak, let him speak the oracles of God. That's what you're speaking, the oracles of God. Because when you're stirring up the gift and you're praying in tongues, the oracles of God are going to come forth, because you're not praying in your mind anymore. or you are praying in the Holy Ghost, which is in your spirit man. So it's not anything that you have control over.
It's got your tongue.
You have released your authority to the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And you've allowed the Holy Ghost to move through you. And when people allow that, ministers allow that, when you allow that, Pastor Gene, if I allow that, when those who are ministers, like Mary that's coming tonight, Catherine Baxter that's coming tonight, when she allows the Holy Spirit to speak through her, what is going to come forth? The oracles of God.
Oh, that's right.
Of oracles of God. And it says, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. So God giveth these gifts, and it's not by our power, our might, but it's by the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
And we need to realize it's nothing in me, nothing in you. It's all from God. That God in all things may be glorified,
yes,
through Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the giver of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Amen. The Father, the Son, and it came from the Father, but He's the giver of the Holy Ghost. He said He couldn't give Him the Holy Ghost until He went back to heaven. So He's the giver. To whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So this is very important.
It sure
and
is.
And the mainline churches, they want to shut this off. They think it causes confusion. They don't really want to hear from God. They have their own plans and their own agendas, and we can all fall in that trap where we want to do what we want to do or what we think we've heard to do. But God isn't always going to put things in the order that we want things in. He has His own order, and we don't know what His order is. And His order is always timely
and right.
And it's always right. And He'll do it when He wants to do it.
That's right.
We can't control. Or we can't control the Holy Ghost. And if we try to, He just will say, okay, have your way, do what you want to do. And nothing's going to happen.
That's right.
Except the power of man. Right. What is the power of man? It's not.
Nothing. It's not going to accomplish much of anything. We've had many people come to visit our church over the years. And as soon as they hear somebody speak in tongues, they get up and leave. Because they're what? They're offended. And it's a shame. And I'm going to read you a verse that this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12. This is very important. Listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Starting in verse 31, this is our master said
Matthew
this.
12?
Yeah. 12:31 says this. Wherefore, Yeshua says, I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy, got to keep that word blasphemy in mind, shall be forgiven unto men.
Mm.
But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost
That's
shall
right.
not be forgiven
Whoa.
Unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So when we have people preaching against the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they're in a place where they're blaspheming God because it's something God gave for the church, and He's never taken it away, like most people tell you. And we've known some cases of people in the pulpits that were preaching against the Holy Ghost, dropped dead. It was like an Ananias and Sapphira time, dropped dead right in the pulpit because they were coming against us. So anything that God's doing, if we blaspheme the Holy Ghost, no matter what it is, and we say it's, I've had people tell me, well, what you got's of the devil. Well, it's not of the devil, it came from God. If it was of the devil, He wouldn't have me to be drawn closer to God, to spend more time with Him, to love Him more and all that. And
well,
so we know it's not of the devil. It's of God. It was there for a purpose. And we've got people trying to take it away from the church. And many people believe the lie because some minister told them that it wasn't for today. You know that? Amen?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to back up in this verse. I'm going to go back up to 25 of chapter 12 of Matthew. Listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, or Yeshua, knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. That's a home, a church, no matter what. Now let's just listen to this now. And if I...
I left out 26.
And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? See, it can't. Now let's go on. And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out?
Mm.
Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God,
glory,
then the kingdom of God come unto you.
Is
come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? And then verse 30. He that is not with me is against me,
mm-hmm.
and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. And then we read verses 31 and 32. incredible. So we don't want to blaspheme the Lord.
No,
do we?
Blaspheme we the don't Holy
want,
Ghost.
No, we don't want to blaspheme the Lord in any kind, shape, or form. And so we have a lot of that. Now let's go over where Pastor Donna was at last week, and I'm sure she got a lot more she'd like to say. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter. I'm going to go to, just going to read verse 14, and I'm going to let her roll. She had some thoughts. I know she did last week. We didn't get it all done. But I want you to look at this with me in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Mm-hmm. Paul discussed all these things about an unknown tongue, and there's unknown tongues, and our heavenly language is a known tongue by me. You can't duplicate what I pray in the Spirit, and it's for me, it's not for you. It's for me and not for you. And we look at the things that Paul said over here. Verse 37, we're almost at the end of chapter 14. Listen to this. Paul says, if any man, and if you look this up, it actually means anyone, mankind, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you, I wrote this in my, marked this in my Bible years ago, that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Ooh. Now let's go on. But if any man again be ignorant, let him be ignorant. We got a lot of people today, they want to be ignorant, they're going to stay ignorant. But they're missing out on a lot of things that what God could use them in a spiritual realm to touch people and stir their lives and bring them to a new place. Bring people to Christ.
You know what they're doing? They're fighting God.
That's what they're doing. They're fighting God. So they're ignorant. You know, just like what happened with Pharaoh. You know, the more he fought against God, the harder his heart got. So they're ignorant. So he's let them be ignorant. Now here's the key verse, these next two. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. The only thing we have in the Bible, it says to covet.
And the gifts, it says that also.
Right, amen. And the gifts. But this, you know, and God told us not to covet anything. But mm-hmm. here, Paul says, God told him to tell you that to covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Hear this?
Amen.
Now, when did that, did he change his mind on that? No, God didn't change his mind. And then he says, let all things be done decently and in order. Well, how can anything be decent in order if we don't do something? We got to be doing something. And so God, if we bring it out the way he wants with our baptism of the Holy Ghost and trusting him, well, it's going to be done decently in order. I think about us when we started a church, what? All those years ago, almost 25 years ago, we didn't have a lot of training in this at that particular time. But it's interesting how God kind of walked us through all this. And we didn't, I believe with all my heart, we didn't have anything that was really out of order. We wrote down what was being said to a person, gave a copy of it to them mm-hmm. so they could study it and understand what God said. And so we have, today now we have tapes and CDs and things. And so we've had quite a few prophecies given to us.
We'll talk about
it. With somebody that prayed in tongues maybe before that
mm-hmm.
and gave us a personal prophecy. And most of the things we've had has come to pass. Not see, when if God tells you in a prophetic word, now it could be 10 years.
Amen.
And now is nothing
Amen.
With it. And so we see, so Paul's been warning people here, mm-hmm. don't hinder anything that God wants to have done in the realm of the Spirit. There's a reason for all of it. So I keep going back to this thing. We've got too much emphasis on just on the tongues part. The tongues part. Well, that just shows us, hey, we've got it. I've got it. We got a song we sang at church, don't we,
uh-huh.
Pastor? I've got it. I got it. So we got too much emphasis on that. But the thing is, the emphasis would be on what does the Holy Ghost through people produce into the world? Power and anointing. That's what we need. Thousands and thousands of people
Lord.
Coming into the kingdom of God. It's amazing how they.
Thank you, Lord.
I think about some of these evangelists around the world. I think about Reinhard Bunke. Just came to my mind. You know, he's in Africa. He has meetings with. They have thousands and thousands of people out in the fields. They walk for miles in the hot weather
uh-huh.
or the rain,
uh-huh.
and they don't have no air conditioning. And they listen to him preach simple messages. And what happens? A mighty rushing wind comes in sometimes in those meetings, and hundreds of people on one side of the platform would fall to the ground. Just slain in the Spirit by the power of God. And then he continues on, and then all of a sudden you hear another rush. We've seen it on TV before. And a hole on the right side, hundreds of people will just fall to the ground in the power of the anointing of God. And so this is how people come to realize
yes,
that God
Lord.
Is real. God is real. What he did 2,000 years ago mm-hmm. with Yeshua, he wants to do the same thing today. The only problem we have today is man thinks he knows more than God does with higher criticism and their knowledge they think they have. No, we just take this book for what it says. God gave it to us, and we're going to walk in the fullness of it, And when we do, we're going to walk in power and authority that God wants us
Amen.
To have. And we can do those. We can cast out. What's it say in Mark chapter 16? Can we do those? We can cast out devils.
Yes.
Can't we? Yeah.
Yes.
We can pray with new tongues. If they, you know, if we're out in ministry and something comes along that we that might harm us,
lay hands on the sick.
That's right. God can take care of that. We lay hands on the sick. It doesn't say maybe. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And he said he was going to go out and let them go out with signs and wonders and miracles. What? To reveal to people the power of the kingdom of God.
We can lay hands on people and they can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
That's
and
right.
Praying other tongues immediately. Immediately.
That's it.
Just to be born again.
Yeah.
You know, chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians, it talks about the gifts.
That's right.
It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, mm-hmm. brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And you talked about that in Matthew. God doesn't want us to be ignorant.
They're stupid. Yeah.
Some people are going to be ignorant still, you know, and they're just going to continue to stay in that place. But, and you know, if you get that way and you get that strong of a feeling about being stubborn and ignorant, you know what? It only grows. It gets worse and worse. And we've seen that with people. You
That's
know,
right.
even where they have received maybe maybe a word or two in praying in tongues at one time, you know, when somebody prayed for them, and all of a sudden they said, no, that's not me. That's not God. I'm not doing that. They chose not to let the Spirit of God flow through them.
That's right.
And then what happens, you eventually see them get colder and drift away from the Word of God because the Spirit of God can't work in them. And so they're going to start seeing everything in the Bible. They're going to see it's not true. They're just going to fall away from many things. But right. He says that he talks about the spiritual things that, you know, brother, we're not to be ignorant about these things, not to be carried away like the idols were. And then at the end of chapter 12, it says here, but covet earnestly the best gifts.
The best gifts.
See, there's many gifts. In chapter 12, it talks about all the gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. You know, there's all of them. You need to go and read them. We don't have time to read them, but read chapter 12. It talks about that. Then verse 31 tells you to covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And then next chapter is chapter 13. It's talking about love.
Charity.
You know,
huh?
Charity. If we don't have charity and love for the brethren, and we try to move in these gifts, you know, it's not right. It's wrong. It's totally wrong. And I'm not going to read chapter 12. You need to read that too, because 12, I think chapter 12, 13, and 14 all kind of work together. And then you get to 14 where you talked about it. And verse 1 says, follow after charity. Now he's repeating this. I told you about love. I'm telling you again. Follow. But then to desire spiritual things, desire spiritual gifts. Then it says, but rather that you may prophesy. So prophesy. Prophecy is being emphasized by the speaking of tongues in this whole chapter 14. I mean, where it talks 14 and 15, where it talks about praying in the Spirit and praying in the understanding, singing in the Spirit, singing in the understanding.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about tongues. And that's where he said, I speak in tongues more than you all. This is all talking about tongues. 22, wherefore tongues are for a sign, right?
That's right.
Tongues are very important. And so it talks about the have a doctrine, you know, have a tongue. It talks about all the gifts that you might have. You might have by speaking or singing in the Spirit. What you're worshiping God, it says in verse 25, and thus are the secrets of the heart made manifest.
That's
this
right.
is what this comes by the Holy Ghost, the secrets of God. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God. Is that worship God? The testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy, and report that God is in you a truth. And how is it then, brother, when you come together, everyone hath a psalm, they have a doctrine, they have a tongue. They have revelations. See, revelation is so
right.
It's okay to have revelation. They have interpretations. Let all things be done unto edify. So we have all of these things, and that I believe that this whole chapter has to do with, you know, when you pray in the Spirit and you have these tongues, these gifts will manifest.
That's
and
right.
Like you said, the very last verse 39, next to the last verse in chapter 14. He goes right back to what he said in the very beginning. He started talking about prophecy in verse 1. It closes in verse 39. Wherefore, brother, covet to prophesy and to forbid not to speak with tongues. See, tongues is that opening of revelation that comes through from the Spirit of God, from heaven, to our spirit. And then it's manifested. But praying in tongues is what stirs up that gift from heaven, that opens that flow, that'll open that channel. That you know, it's like you're on a radio station. You guys are listening to us. If you're driving too far away and you're in your car, you're gonna start to get some static.
A lot of noise.
But
yeah.
We don't want it. It clears away the pathway of the sounds around you. You know, it's that's why they just anointed on the one ear, the right ear. You just want to hear from the right. You want to hear from God. Amen. So we want to hear from him. It opens up that pathway, that opening. It opens you up to be able to hear from the Spirit of God and not all the stuff that's going all around us, because there's all these voices that want to speak to us and want to tell us the wrong thing. But we only want to hear from the voice of God. And so that's why we need tongues.
That's right.
It's one of the reasons we need tongues.
Now, just a couple of things caught my eye here, Pastor John, while you're reading this.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 14, verse 2 says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God." Hear this?
Amen.
"For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit." You notice the spirit in the King James is not capitalized?
In their human spirit.
"Howbeit in their human spirit," in other words, "he speaketh" what?
Mysteries.
"Mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification," and so on. Now look at chapter 13 now. Verse 1 caught my eye real quickly while Donna was sharing.
Uh-huh.
He says, Paul says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of
angels
and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing." So, you know, this is the supernatural love for the brethren, especially the word charity. It's above brotherly love. But I thought about this. When people come against the people that have a baptism of the Holy Ghost, they're not walking in this charity of love. They're not.
No.
They're not
right.
walking
they're
in
not.
Love. They're not walking in love. You know, they won't let somebody come and pray because they're afraid they're going to pray in tongues or whatever, you know, in a meeting. So they don't give the people the freedom. But this is so important. Paul's brought all this out to show us that what this is all about. And it's to edify one another. We know that. But it's to go out and to move and operate with the nine manifestations of the Spirit there in chapter 12, and to do the works of the Lord. If you read Acts real close, the Apostle Paul, at one time or other through the book of Acts, was being used of God in all nine of those manifestations in chapter 12 that we read about. He flowed in those from time to time. Now, he wasn't focused on just one. It was whatever was needed at the particular time, the best gift. That's what when it comes. I think about this. I'm born again, and so is Pastor Donna. We're baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So within us, we have all the manifestations are available. So if we're out ministering and doing the work of the Lord, whatever needs to be done, the best gift, he can draw that out of us if we'll yield to him. But if we don't know the Spirit in the right way, we don't walk with the Lord, we don't really know the Holy Ghost and what he's trying to do in our lives, but if we do, then he can allow that particular gift to come out for a particular person. Is it a word of knowledge? Is it a word of wisdom? What is it? Is it discerning of spirits? Is it supernatural faith? Is it supernatural healing? What is it? And so if we allow it to happen, it can flow through. So I remember when we first got saved, there was a minister came to our church in Fort Lauderdale. He was there for a whole month, and he kept preaching this, kept saying, so he said, "God will give it to you if he can get it through you." That's it. We got a log in here with a lot of people, even with the thing about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's a log. How can God get anything through you when that thing's jammed up with like a river with logs in it? He can't, and we want to let that river flow. And so it's so important we understand what we're talking about here. I do not want to ever do one thing. God help me never to do it. Any say anything contrary to your word that I would blaspheme your word or what the Holy Ghost is doing with people. No way whatsoever. You know, people had a problem with Rodney Howard Brown he's still going. And you know, about the laughter, like he was making it up. He doesn't make it up. God's working through those people. Somehow there's a lack in their life that they need in the laughter. The Bible says what?
We
laughter
need the joy.
Is medicine for our bones and our soul. We need the joy.
We need the joy of the
and
Lord.
So people run these things down. They mock it because you know, and it's amazing what we have. And so we gotta remember that. We
Lord,
do not want to bye-bye. Blaspheme
release
the Holy
comes.
Ghost. We want to release the power of God, and the releasing comes through the power of the Holy Ghost. And so if you don't have that gift for your heavenly language, or somebody's told you that you can't have it, or it's not for today, read the Bible, ask God to show you, and I believe with all my heart he's going to show you. You'll put down the lies and say, "Lord, I'd like to have this." And most people don't have it because they've been taught that it's not for today, like I just mentioned. And the other reason is they've never asked. Jesus said, "Ask, and you shall receive." I remember when I got saved, I asked,
Lord.
And I finally received when I began to understand. I asked, and I received. Kosa kandaraba, humba, sataka sandaraba. Ask, and you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost. I just heard the Lord say that. Tell them to ask. to ask me. I am the giver. I'm the giver. I will send it to them. Let them ask me, not looking to some man, just ask me, and I'll give it to them, the Lord says.
Thank you, Lord.
I mentioned this the other day at church. One time we had a call at the church for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we had about 10 or 11 people come down front. And I remember I prayed for, I didn't pray for each one of them, but I held my hands up and had them all pray a prayer.
Right.
And I went down the end and I laid my hands on each one of them.
Right.
And not a single new language came out, nothing. And so I said, Lord, what's going on here? I said, you told me to pray for these people. But as I began to talk a little bit more about it, all of a sudden, a lady down on the far left began to pray in tongues. I mean, it just came out. And then the one right next to her got it. And the one next to that person got it. And the next to the next one got it. And the next one, the next one, went right down the line. And when it was done, all of them had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and some of them were laying on the floor. They were just, the God just dropped in on them. Hallelujah. So they were slain in the Spirit right there on the floor on that particular day. So this is evidence to me that this is real. It's not something that people's making up. And so we got this lie going through the most denominations that has been done away with. So let's clear our minds out and take the Bible for what it says. That key word we have there, that definite article, the gift, is the gift of the Holy Ghost that brings us into the supernatural realm that we can walk, talk, flow, operate, and do the things that God told us to do. And so, hallelujah. I like that we can lay hands on the sick, as I said before. It doesn't say they might get saved or healed. It says what? That they what?
They will
be.
Shall.
So we can lay hands on people and they can receive salvation the same way. I have people say, well, how do you know you got the baptism? Well, we got the evidence with this language. Well, how do you know you're saved? How do you know you're saved? Can you prove that? Because you got a witness within your heart by the Spirit of God came in.
Thank you, Lord.
So we're running out of time here.
Wow, praise God.
So we're honored to be here with you. If you don't have it, ask God, and He'll give it to you. He really will.
Thank you, Lord. Cause your people to be hungry, Lord God.
Yes.
For you, Lord, to know more about you, to love you, Father, to have that holy fear of the Lord, Father God, to just seek holiness, Father God. Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, and we're here to bless you and to speak God's word over you and to you.
Yes.
I just pray that you receive something today, amen, from this. Come this afternoon if you can at 4 tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We have a wonderful, awesome woman of God coming. Her name is Mary Catherine Baxter.
Yeah.
And you will just be blessed. You'll be so blessed. She's written many books about heaven and hell. She's had visions and dreams and visitations from the Lord, and she has a word for people now, because you know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun.
Absolutely.
You don't want a hell, amen. You don't want others to go to hell. So we just thank you and we just pray, Father God, that you will touch these people, Lord. Our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007, and we're in Stuart, Florida, in the Monterey Plaza. If you're going to come today or tomorrow, you can call us and we'll give you directions.
Hallelujah.
Or you can Google Spirit of Prophecy Ministries.
Amen. So as we close this program every week, I would like to mention one thing. Even you can ask, if you're listening and you're not born again, ask Jesus for salvation, and He'll come and take away all your sins. And so we're on this program because we want to see people saved, brought to a new dimension, and we tell you to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. What do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of Prophecy.